Sai's Glory, His Divine Story, every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Sai's Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m.
Om Shri Sai Ram. Offering myself at Bhagwan's lotus feet, this is Karuna signing in from Prashanti Nilayam, the spiritual capital of the universe. Welcome to Morning Glory on Thursday Live, coming to you from the Radio Sai studios at Prashanti Nilayam. It is 9:40 a.m. on Thursday morning, July the 11th, 2013, and you're tuned to Radio Sai's Asia Stream. It's a pleasant day here in Prashanti Nilayam with comfortable temperatures. We have lows of 24 degrees Celsius and highs of 33 degrees Celsius. We have also had some monsoon rains lately, including all night last night. The Divine Valley is enjoying picture-perfect weather conditions. And how I wish we could say the same for the thousands stranded in the Himalayan mountains of Uttarakhand, where the weather conditions are treacherous and every moment a struggle for survival. As you may know, on June 17th, unprecedented devastation occurred in the Uttarakhand state of North India. Home to some of the holiest of Hindu shrines and rivers, the area experienced flash floods and massive landslides due to a cloudburst. What followed was horrific loss of human life, ecology and property. Well known for its disaster management skills and the spirit of selfless service, the Sri Sathya Sai Seva Organization of India was quick to respond to this tragedy. Today, on Morning Glory, we have for you an exclusive interview with the All India President of the Sri Sathya Sai Seva Organization, wherein he offers an update on the Sai Organization's efforts to bring relief to the traumatized area and its long-term rehabilitation plans. Mr. V. Srinivasan offers a clear picture of the ground reality and the challenges involved, and also offers important tips on what each of us can do to help the victims and even avert future disasters. Dear listeners, this interview that we recorded with Mr. V. Srinivasan over the phone on Monday, July 8th, is a must-listen for everyone. You may want to take a moment to phone your friends and family so that they too can tune into Morning Glory on Asia Stream right now. If you are a Facebook user, please feel free to share it with your friends and family. We will be posting it on our Facebook page in a little while, and we request you to share this half-hour conversation with as many people as possible. Everyone who cares must listen to it. If this calamity has moved you enough to want to participate in the relief and rehabilitation efforts of the Sai Seva Organization, may I suggest that you keep your pen and paper handy, as I will give you some important information at the end of the interview. Let's get on with the very time-sensitive interview with Mr. V. Srinivasan that was recorded on Monday. Mr. Srinivasan heads the Sri Sathya Sai Seva Organization of India, the national service organization founded by Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai Baba. Sai Ram sir, and thank you very much for joining us this morning. Most of us are in shock from merely watching those horrific media images of the disaster that struck Uttarakhand in North India 2 weeks ago. Sir, as the head of the Sri Sathya Sai Seva Organization, what can you tell Radio Sai listeners about our response to this calamity?
Sai Ram Karuna, I'm happy to give you an update on what is our status on Uttarakhand relief. As you know, the flood started on the 17th of June.
That's right.
With the tremendous unexpected disaster of a fury which was never experienced in recent times.
That is right, yes.
And it was something that, you know, it's in a part of India which we do not associate with these kind of disasters. We have come across earthquakes, we have come across tsunamis, we have come across fire, but we have also had floods in Odisha, but not in a sort of a constricted area like it has happened in Uttarakhand.
That's right.
And we immediately, through the, let's say, organization of Uttar Pradesh and Uttaranchal, of course now called Uttarakhand,
mm-hmm.
we have a common state president who heads both these states. We had a close discussion and said that, look, we need to immediately mobilize relief. And I must say to their credit that they had already started even before we had this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And as usual, the target was on all these people who had got stuck, the pilgrims.
Yeah, the stranded thousands.
In thousands of them in different parts, you know, this is the time for the Char Dham Yatra. And they were stuck in different places. And we were wanting to help them with food, blankets, etc. But one special problem which was there and which is still there in Uttarakhand is that of access.
Mm.
You know, the mountainous topography with limited roads.
Yes, and most of which are washed off.
With limited roads, which of course have all got washed off.
Mm.
But even in the best of times, roads were quite narrow and not really suited for large traffic. And the government was paralyzed. You know, they did not know what to do. And the first thing they did was to restrict access for everybody.
Mm.
So they would not even allow the Satya Sai organization volunteers to go, even if they wished to go by foot, carrying relief materials. They started to put restrictions on them. I don't want to say much about the wonderful work which has been done by the Army and the Air Force. I think the largest airlift for rescue operations in recent history has been successfully executed by the Defense Forces, many of whom have risked their lives.
And lost their lives also.
Quite a few died, you know, we had crashes and they died.
Yeah.
Because as you know, the weather conditions are very fickle. And this is the monsoon season.
Yes.
And you have not only heavy rain, you have severe fog, you have strong winds. And particularly blowing through narrow valleys. So the access which people use, even by helicopter, is as if you're flying through a chimney with a strong wind blowing from side to side. And I must say, to the credit of our jawans, that they have done a magnificent job. And if they had not been involved, I do not know where this disaster would have gone. What we did was that we established a liaison with the defense forces and got some permission to move into certain areas. And this helped our volunteers to carry relief materials to those who were afflicted. In the first part, our attention was on the pilgrims, and we wanted to serve them not only where they were stranded, but later we found that these pilgrims were those who had been evacuated. They were also stuck in the Jolly Grant Airport, in the bus station at Rishikesh, and in the railway station at Haridwar, because the pressure of the people was far more than what could be accommodated by the available means, whether it is aircraft, buses or railways. So immediately we set up relief camps at these three places, at the airport. We set it up in the bus station and also outside the railway station.
And what do these relief camps offer?
They give all kinds of relief for food.
Mm.
Because many of these people have just lost everything and come empty-handed.
Mm.
There's nothing with them to eat. We gave them not only cooked food, but also clothes, blankets, water. And most important, and I must congratulate our volunteers, they had the bright idea of giving them cell phones to enable them to reach out to their loved ones who were anxiously waiting in different parts of the country to hear what was happening to them.
Very thoughtful gesture, I would say.
I think it reflects the modern times and the young people. They think out of the box compared to what we who have been there for some time think. And here these relief materials were on cooked food, biscuits, and ready-to-eat stuff, you know, rather than any kind of food materials for cooking or anything like that. The attention was to see that they their hunger is satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
We also brought medicines so that those who were sick with diarrhea, with stomach upset, with chills, with fever, we had doctors there at these camps to quickly prescribe and give them the appropriate medication.
Mm-hmm.
So this was the first phase where we looked at the pilgrims who were coming out. And then there are still some pilgrims who are not yet been evacuated. And unfortunately, these are people who are in the very high reaches, who have gone beyond the Joshimath and other places. And the access is almost impossible now. And what has happened that, again, there have been heavy rains on the 4th of July, and even the restored roads, many of them have got washed away.
Oh dear.
So this is a continuing challenge of access. What we did was that we quickly realized that this evacuation of the pilgrims is going to get over soon. And you must also understand that many other agencies, their immediate attention was to rush these kind of food materials. I must say that the government was totally overwhelmed and had no real setup to receive, handle and process all these kinds of relief supplies which were coming. And we had the terrible situation of food which was rotting without reaching the people to whom it was intended. Be that as it may, we don't want to comment on others. We want to concentrate on what we have done and what we intend to do. And we quickly started to say that, look, we now have to pay attention to the villagers who have also lost all their homes and who are, again, many of them not willing to leave from these places, and without shelter they are stuck in those places. So we have done something with the help of our Sai devotees and our organization members, that we brought in several dozens of waterproof tents which we moved as a temporary shelter for the people on that. So now the relief operations are being targeted towards those who are residents of the affected areas, not the pilgrims as such.
I see. The local population.
Yeah, the population who are severely affected and who do not see any light at the end of the tunnel. So the relief which we are giving, just to give you some basic information, we have got sealed bags for all these people, and each bag contains 10 kilograms of flour, 5 kilograms of rice, 2 kilograms of dal, 2 kilograms of sugar. There is maggi, ghee, rusk, masala, refined oil, candles with matchboxes, apart from the tents. We also are giving them blankets, cooking utensils, steel plates, buckets and mugs. And again, something which is most useful during the dark nights are the special solar lanterns which we have rushed to the places. You know, these lanterns are specially engineered to be able to get charged even on cloudy days on them.
Very
so
good.
That in the night they are not left in the dark, but have some source of light to give them some reassurance. And naturally, we have distributed photos of Bhagwan and Vibhuti packets to all these people, which they have received very gratefully on that. And this is continuing, and many of the areas, with the permission of the defense forces, our Sevadal are moving by foot. And we have some trucks ready. The moment the roads are at least partially opened, we want to move more material to these villages. Because, you know, people there are not willing to move from there. They are so attached to their homes, where they have lived for generations, and they don't want to vacate sites because they are afraid whether somebody will take them away from them and they may not be able to come back to where they have lived for several generations. So this is the relief operations, Karuna. But this is not the entire plan. Right from the beginning, we felt that our activity in Uttarakhand has to have two parts. One is relief,
right,
and the other is rehabilitation.
I see.
And in the relief, as I have explained to you, it was divided into two parts. One is towards the pilgrims, and the other, which is continuing, is the relief for the residents of the Uttarakhand villages. Now, the rehabilitation is something which we are looking at. In fact, I don't know if you saw the press release which has come out from the media coordinator.
That is right, yes.
I think the SAI organization was the first to talk about rehabilitation rather than ad nauseum about relief.
Yes.
We felt that this kind of rehabilitation has to be attended to. What is this rehabilitation? We have thousands of orphan children. What are we going to do for them? Of course, the government has announced a lot of initiatives to help these orphan children. And we have to see that we tread carefully so that we are not held in violation of the government guidelines. I don't know whether you are aware, Karuna, Bhagwan has set up Satya Sai Vidya Vihar in Rishikesh.
That is right.
Many years back,
yes.
And I was there sometime in April to inaugurate the new hostel building.
Just 3 months ago?
Yeah, right. Just 3 months ago. Who knew that this was going to happen?
How is that facility? Is it safe?
It is quite safe because it's not right on the riverbank.
Yeah, it's at a height.
Slightly away from that. I mean, you can, within a few minutes walk, you come to the river bank and you can see Mother Ganga. But we are not precariously at the edge of the river on that. And a new hostel building was inaugurated. It's a beautiful building, the entire school complex. There is a very dedicated lady who runs that place, and she has devoted her whole life. And Mrs. Bishnoi, who is a very competent person, she is the director. She and her husband are totally committed to Seva. And that school is working on excellent standards. And at that time, we had also organized a retreat for Northern Region youth, which was conducted within the school, which has an excellent auditorium, by the way. So this took place in April. I spent 3 days there. I was, of course, tied up mostly during the youth conference.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't manage to visit the Paramarth Ashram.
Mm.
I met Swami Chidananda Saraswati, who was most gracious to us and who had also come to the Sathya Sai Vidya Vihar to address all our youth.
Mm-hmm.
And I was also on the banks of the Ganga near the Shiva statue.
Oh, yes,
of which you would have been seeing pictures.
Many pictures, yes.
Many pictures of it being submerged almost to the neck on that. So I vividly recall the time I spent there, and now when we see the raging torrents.
Everything changed so quickly.
Totally changed on that. And what we are planning to do is to see whether we can take some of these orphan children in our Sathya Sai Vidya Vihar.
Mm.
And not only the Rishikesh school, but to look at the possibility of taking these children into some of our other Sai schools.
Mm.
As you know, we run
99.
That 99, we are now about 100
with Haryana, yes.
Where we have 55,000 students. So I think it would be Bhagwan's will and sankalpa that some of these students are admitted into the Sathya Sai schools.
Mm-hmm.
The second aspect of this rehabilitation is going to involve reconstruction of the houses in that. Now, we do not want to get involved in construction at the same sites where the original houses were constructed, because many of these were right on the banks of the river. And that is why most of them got washed
swept away, yeah.
Some of them, unfortunately, were constructed on the river course.
Oh.
And that is something we do not want to do.
Mm.
And we want to pay the greatest emphasis, place the greatest emphasis on ecological considerations. And we feel that while we may not shift any places of worship, the houses must be constructed some distance away from the banks of the river so that they do not suffer the same fate as has happened at present.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are now in the planning process. We are looking at different options of what kind of construction can be done. We have also another challenge.
Which is?
As you know, that there is a very short working season.
Oh,
from
yes.
the middle of August till, I'd say, the first week of November is the time we have to do something. Because after that, everything shuts down for almost 6 months with the very arduous winter which is there in those regions.
Mm-hmm.
So we are looking at non-conventional methods of construction. As you know, we did a lot of work in Orissa. Bhagwan had graciously instructed and gave as his sign of his love 1,000 houses in the villages of Orissa.
Specific instructions for high plinth so that they're not vulnerable in the future.
Yeah, exactly. He had given instructions that the plinth should be at least 2.5 feet away above the ground level so that water will not enter at any time in the future. And I must say the first 700 houses have now passed 3 seasons without any problems. And I was just there 4 days back to inaugurate the balance 300 villages.
And bringing the grand total to 1,000 houses?
Yes, 1,000 houses. Bhagwan's mandate and order to us that 1,000 houses should be built has now been completed by His grace in Orissa.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this work which we did there gave us a lot of experience of how to do rural house construction.
Mm-hmm.
But the situation in Uttarakhand is totally different.
Mm-hmm.
That, again, the tremendous problem of access. Second, the very short working season.
Mm-hmm.
Third, the non-availability of conventional skilled workers like masons, plumbers, carpenters, fitters, etc. How do we move cement, sand, steel, etc.? So we've been looking at non-conventional solutions using prefabricated methods of construction.
Mm-hmm.
We now have two interesting options.
Mm-hmm.
I had a detailed meeting day before yesterday with the engineers who brought these. And we are looking at it in greater detail. And we feel at least one of them would be suitable, and we hope that if we get the green signal, we will be able to complete about 400-500 houses in this working season.
And
again, I am sure nobody else will be even making a start at this time. So again, you know, one point is Bhagwan always used to say, whether it is the hospital, whether it is the university, whether it is the water project,
mm-hmm.
he always said that I am doing these things in order that they serve as models which can be replicated.
Mm-hmm.
It is that people working together can achieve seemingly what is supposed to be impossible. And we do not have to look to the government for everything.
Mm.
In keeping with that adage, our idea is that we should create something which is going to be a model.
Mm.
The overall problem of rehabilitation and reconstruction in Uttarakhand is enormous. And the kind of numbers which are being bandied about today is totally inadequate. The problem is far more serious, and it is going to require not only the assistance of the various state governments, non-government organizations, but the central government has to get into this on a war footing.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, the people of Uttaranchal are going to suffer, and they are our brothers and sisters. We cannot abandon them.
Mm-hmm.
So what we want to do is to create a model which can be replicated.
Mm-hmm.
And we would like to do this as fast as possible.
I see.
So the rehabilitation work I am going to be discussing with the Sathya Sai Central Trust, because it is going to require considerable outlays of funds which are beyond the capacity of the Sathya Sai organization to do. I have laid out the ground rules that all relief operations will be done by the Sathya Sai organization.
Mm-hmm.
But rehabilitation will be taken by the Central Trust if the Board of Trustees approve it. And I'm quite hopeful that in the coming meeting, which is within the next 10 days, the detailed proposals which I hope to put before them will be successfully navigated through the Board of Trustees, and we can start moving on the reconstruction and rehabilitation. I want to give you a feel for the geography and the names, some of which may mean something to people who are listening. We are working in villages near Gupta Kashi, and it's near a place called Agastya Muni. The villages where we are supplying a lot of relief is Vijayanagar, Chaka, Jawahar Nagar, Chandrapur, and Ganga Nagar. And our Sevadal are reaching these places by a circuitous route because the direct route has all been washed away. And so they have to go around by in a circuitous manner to reach these villages to distribute the relief materials on there.
And so they're doing this on foot?
Yeah, many of them are carrying it on foot on that. Because till the roads are restored, there's the only alternative is to move it through mules and backpacks, which they are doing on this. So now coming to how people can contribute, participate, etc. As you know, the Sathya Sai organizations never make out in any appeal for funds. Bhagwan had been quite categorical on this. But those who wish to do it by themselves, without an appeal for such kind of funds, they can participate if they so feel inclined. The Uttar Pradesh Trust has opened a separate bank account for receiving all donations for these relief work. and we have a lot of inflow into these accounts from all over India.
Mm-hmm.
I will send you the details of that bank account, and within the next 2-3 days all these details will be on the website of the Satsai organization, which information I have already sent to you.
Yes.
And you can bring it to the attention of the listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one main point I wanted to also tell you,
yes,
that contributions from abroad cannot be made into this account.
The Uttarakhand, the UP account.
Yeah, into the UP account, because that trust has no permission yet from the central government for receiving foreign contributions.
Mm.
So, while the international organization has been in close touch with me, I have told them that while their members and devotees would like to contribute, they should send such funds to the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust, which is authorized to release, to receive such foreign contributions. They can make a specific request that these contributions should be used for the rehabilitation and relief in Uttarakhand on that.
I see.
So the international chairman has already issued a circular to all the Satya Sai centers all over the world that any such funds should be sent only to the Satya Sai Central Trust and not directly to any individual in India or to the Satya Sai organization in India. So you can pass this information on to your listeners.
Will do, sir.
Those who are abroad should, through their Sai centers,
directed
to the Central Trust. Now, I've been thinking without giving you any chance to do, but now let me listen to whether you have any points which you'd like me to clarify.
All the good information you provided is exactly what our listeners were curious to know, and it's very good to know that everything is being planned in such an intelligent and long-term basis, because people can get very emotional at moments like this, but the relief project, the mission has to be thought out very carefully, because it's human lives we are talking about. And one question on everybody's mind was exactly this: if they are outside of India, how can they contribute? So it's good to know that even those who are outside of India can contribute by directing their funds to the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust, and advising the trust that this is for the rehabilitation work, which could take years or decades to complete.
Yes. I would like to just add some thoughts on what Bhagwan has been saying, Karuna. I'm sure you are aware Bhagwan had digressed extensively on man's harmony with nature.
Yes.
He had said that if man continues to contradict the dictums of harmony with nature, if he abuses nature, if he goes entirely on his selfish interest, nature will retaliate.
And we are seeing that more often than not nowadays.
And this is not happening only in India.
All over the world.
This is all over the world. The kind of floods this year, as you know, the Danube had the highest floods ever in Europe. And you see so many places, fires, forest fires. All these because man is living in disharmony with nature. And if you are going to always be driven only by your selfish interests, if you have no thought for preservation of the ecology and the diversity of life, then you are going to pay a price. Not only in future generations, we are going to pay a price in this generation.
Exactly, and we are paying it right now.
Yes, you can see this.
Mm.
So violators are going to experience it right now, apart from the terrible legacy which they will leave for their children.
Very true.
Bhagwan had stressed repeatedly that do not look only at the material side of development. Development has to be holistic.
Mm.
It cannot be only on material development.
Mm.
It requires social development. It requires spiritual development. Compassion, love, service. These are the factors that you have to do rather than only look at how do we create more wealth. And that wealth is not uniformly shared.
Of course.
It has been going to the benefit of just a few people.
Mm.
And unfortunately, even the wealth which percolates down to the common people, they are being educated and wrongly oriented to acquire more desires and purchase things which they do not need,
mm.
rather than pay attention to the preservation of their values and lifestyle which they had before. Well, I thought this is something we,
yes.
as Sai devotees, should pay attention.
Yeah,
each one of us should look at how do we limit our desires.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is the beginning. You cannot talk only about others. You have to make a beginning yourself. And the Sai organization now says that we transform lives by first transforming ourselves.
Mm.
If you do not transform yourself, the world will never transform.
Very well said.
This is a thought we have to keep actively before our eyes, particularly as we are devotees of Bhagavan. And this is a point which he repeatedly emphasized. Don't go on looking at only one-sided development. So I leave that thought with you and the listeners of Radio Sai. I'm very grateful to you, Karuna, for having given me a chance to
share
some information, some thoughts.
No. Thank you so much for connecting with us and bringing our listeners up to speed. I'm sure they will appreciate this greatly. Everyone has had serious moments of anxiety in the last few weeks, and this is so good to know the information. And might I also add for their benefit that the new website of the Sri Satya Sai Seva organization, which will be updated regularly in the near future, is SSSSOindia.org. So 4 S's, Sri Satya Sai Seva Organization, hence 4 S's, O-S-S-S-S-O-India, one word, .org. Anything else you'd like to add, sir?
No, I would like to perhaps keep you updated as the rehabilitation project proceeds forward.
And we look forward to that very much. On behalf of all our global listeners, thank you so very much for joining us.
Sai Ram, Karuna.
Sai Ram, sir. Thank you.
Sai's glory, his divine story. Every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Sai's Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m.
Sai Ram, dear sisters and brothers. You just heard the All India President of the Sri Satya Sai Seva Organization of India. Mr. V. Srinivasan spoke of how both Indian nationals and foreigners can participate in the relief work that our teams are carrying out on the ground right now and the long-term rehabilitation work that the Sai Organization plans to carry out with the help of the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust. Now please take careful note of the fact that as per Bhagavan's divine instructions, the Sai organization does not, and I underscore the word not, solicit any donations, and all the goodwill that we receive is entirely voluntary. After the Uttarakhand tragedy, many queries have been received from devotees eager to help in whatever manner they can towards the good work of the Sai organization in that region. Out of respect for your many inquiries, we are offering you some important information which you may wish to note down. If you don't have a pen ready, worry not. This information is also available at the SSSSOindia.org. That is 4 S's for Sri Satya Sai Seva, O for organization, India.org. I repeat the website to check is SSSSOindia.org. .org, and please do note SSSSO India is one word. And now we have some important information to share with both foreigners and Indian nationals. If you are an Indian national and wish to contribute to the relief work of the Sai organization, you can contribute directly to the Sri Satya Sai Trust of UP or Uttar Pradesh. and here is their banking information. The name of the account is Sri Satya Sai Trust, UP. I repeat, the name of the account is Sri Satya Sai Trust, UP. The name of the bank is Indian Overseas Bank. And the IFSC code at the Indian Overseas Bank is IOBA0001458. I repeat, the IFSC code IOBA0001458. Then comes the account number, and I will say it slowly because it's a long one. The account number is 1458010000999. I'll repeat 1458000, again 000, and 999. The branch name of the branch is Munni Kireti. It is three words and I will read the spellings for you. First word Munni, M-U-N-I, Ki, K-I, Reti, R-E-T-I. It's located in Rishikesh, Uttarakhand, India. This information you can catch on the website as well. We'll post it on our Facebook page as well. Please note that the Sri Satya Sai Seva organization is a not-profit, non-profit, non-governmental organization that does not solicit funds or donation in cash or kind. It's simply furnishing this information in response to your many requests and the desire expressed by many devotees that they would like to join the service projects voluntarily. As far as the foreign nationals are concerned, we are happy to inform you that foreigners can participate in the long-term rehabilitation programs for the victims of this calamity through the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust. Once again, dear listeners, this is not a solicitation of any kind. Foreigners can contact the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust directly by email. The email ID to use is donations@sscct.org. Now, SSSCT stands for Sri Satya Sai Central Trust. The email ID is donations@sscct.org. If you prefer the traditional snail mail, you can post your letters to the Secretary, Sri Satya Sai Central Trust, Prashanti Nilayam, Andhra Pradesh, 515134, India. The Secretary, Sri Satya Sai Central Trust, Prashanti Nilayam. If you wish, you can even state the fact it's in District Anantapur, Andhra Pradesh, postal code 515134, India. And if you're looking for a phone number to call for any clarification, it is 0091. Local area code is 8555. And the number at Central Trust is 289-799-0091-8555-289-799. And of course, you can always contact your local Sai organization within your community and country. And it's a great first point of contact to get started. You heard the All India President speak of how the International Sai organization is working hand in hand with us. And that is the best place to get started if you need further information on how to get started. We hope all this information proves helpful to you. Once again, this is not a solicitation of any kind and is being furnished only to clarify the process for those who are keen to participate voluntarily. Dear listeners, clearly the flash floods and the landslides in Uttarakhand in North India are a colossal human, ecological and of course economic disaster. And right after that we have had floods in other places also, such as China and of all the places in the world in Toronto, Canada, which is so unheard of. Who would have thought that the term Himalayan tsunami will actually come to pass? Are the prophecies really beginning to happen one by one? Did we get too complacent after 12-12-2012 came and went uneventfully? If these are predestined events, what can you and I do to alter such disasters? Can one man's or one person's efforts calm nature's fury or force a course correction in an avalanche or a landslide or a flood? As a devotee of Bhagwan Baba, are you and I privy to a code that can avert future catastrophes? Join me in coming weeks right here on Morning Glory as we discuss this issue with experts who have studied the relationship between nature and the choices we make individually and collectively. I will bring you studio interviews with scholars who have decoded Baba's instructions to his devotees from decades, instructions that need to be urgently translated into lifestyle choices. And even if only those of us who pray in the name of Sai sincerely practice his gospel of love and nonviolence, can we actually prevent further destruction of our planet? I look forward to your company in coming weeks right here on Morning Glory as we explore the relationship between man, society, nature and God. Now before going any further, here is some delightful news that we are very happy to share with you. With hearts full of gratitude for Bhagwan's continuing grace, Radio Sai is pleased to celebrate the second successful anniversary of Radio Sai Telugu 24/7. This dedicated stream was blessed for inauguration by Bhagwan personally just before his Mahasamadhi, and today with his divine grace and guidance, Radio Sai Telugu is turning two. And what better way to celebrate the glory of our Sai than to dedicate the entire day on Sunday, July 14th, 2013, to a live airing of the Telugu stream all day long. From 6 a.m. in the morning to 10 p.m. at night, Radio Sai Telugu will host day-long programs live from our studios. We have teams participating from Hyderabad, Vishakhapatnam, Tirupati, as well as the Anantapur and Prashanthi Nilayam campuses of the Sai University. So please join us in this celebration by tuning in to Radio Sai Telugu live all day on our second anniversary on Sunday, July 14th from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. at night. Radio Sai Global Harmony Ki Tunai Undandi. So how is that for my Telugu course 101? I hope I pass. And now it's time for me to sign off and thank you for your company. Coming up next is Brother Raghu with Service Love in Action. Till we meet next Thursday, please be well, keep seeking and stay inspired and do whatever it takes to stay positive. See you next Thursday. Sai Ram.